turn with me, if you would, for a short time this evening, as the Lord will enable us, to Job chapter 28. Job chapter 28 and verse 28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Much of what you read in Job is, I think, quite difficult to understand, much of the book itself. And I think many a preacher will tell you that when you go into Job, it's not sometimes the easiest to follow, especially some of the arguments that are put within the book. But if you do understand at least some of it, it's a wonderful encouragement. Our text this evening, for example, is an encouragement to God's people, as we will go on to see. It's an encouragement to the seeker, but it's also a challenge to the unbeliever. So the text this evening covers every one of us who are in here this evening. The chapter itself is all about one question. Where is and what is wisdom? Where do you find wisdom? It's a question that is asked not only once, but when you go down, for example, whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Verse 12, but where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? He's asking the question again. He's repeating the question. Now, we've already noticed that in some occasions, questions can be asked that sometimes are totally irrelevant. We've seen how the Pharisees, the Herodians and the chief priests and that came to Jesus. And in the midst of Jesus' claims to be the Messiah and his raising of Lazarus from the dead and the blind receiving their sight, the people crying Hosanna to David in the highest as he enters into Jerusalem, and the Pharisees come and ask, or the Herodians come and ask him, do we pay taxes to Caesar? Jesus answers their question, but you can see how insignificant in many respects. There's nothing wrong with a question, it's a legitimate question, but how insignificant the question is in the light of all that Jesus is claiming. But we saw even this morning that it's not just the world that can do that. We saw how the disciples even do it. Jesus has revealed to them how he will go to Jerusalem, how he will suffer and die. We've read even earlier this evening in Luke's Gospel about how Jesus says, as I told you before, how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer and die. And they're asking the question, who's the greatest among us? Who will be the greatest in the kingdom? That's the way it is, isn't it? Asking questions that are either insignificant or asking questions that are inappropriate. And the question that these disciples were asking, Jesus is saying, that's inappropriate. Because there will be no good. You need to be converted. Your whole thinking needs to be turned. And he shows them that very question itself is an insignificant and inappropriate question. But when you come to Job, we can see that the question that Job is asking is most certainly not insignificant. Job is searching, where is wisdom? Where is true wisdom? And where is true understanding to be found? And that's why when you come, for example, to verse 12, he has it, but where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? And then he repeats the question again, in verse 20, whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Now that's a most important question. That's not an insignificant question. And that's not an inappropriate question. That's a very appropriate question that we should even be asking ourselves this evening. Job is asking the question, where is true wisdom to be found? Where is it to be found? What an appropriate question that is. Well, Job begins the chapter by saying where wisdom is not to be found. There are 3 points, in fact, that we've got this evening. We'll just say them as we go through them rather than give them here. The first point that Job says is that wisdom is not to be found by mere labour, by works, by mere exertion. He gives the example in verses 1 to 11 of men going down a mine, going down into one of the gold mines, or one of the down into the earth for brass or gold or whatever it is. And he digs down and digs down, digs down. You know that one of the great gold mines in South Africa is 3,000 feet deep, right down into the ground. Think of the labour that is exerted in order to extract that precious gold. Think of those who labour digging, going down into the mines and risking their lives to dig down deep. He goes down into the depths, and he will go down where even the lions, whelps have not trodden, where birds have not been, the fowl knoweth not where it goes in verse 7 and verse 8. He'll go down, man will go down and dig deep down into to places where the fowls of the air have never been, where the lion's whelp has never. He will dig and he will dig and he will go down into this mine and he will find a treasure there, gold. Even a small amount of gold is worth thousands and millions of pounds for ounces of gold taken out of the mines. Men will labour for it. But he says, it doesn't matter whether you, how much labour you give to it, it doesn't matter how much energy you put into it, you'll not find wisdom by digging down into the deep. You'll not find wisdom down there. No amount of labour will bring you to understand and to have true wisdom and true understanding. Many a sinner, when the Lord begins to deal with them, they begin to dig. Don't they? They begin to do things. The Lord reveals to them that they don't have wisdom, that they're in ignorance. That they're in darkness and that they need to get wisdom. And what do? They start to dig down. And they soon discover that no amount of labour, no amount of action, no amount of work will ever bring them true understanding and true wisdom. And wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom's not knowledge. These three friends that spoke to Job had a lot of knowledge. Some of it itself correct. But they had no wisdom. You cannot have wisdom, I don't believe, without knowledge. But you can have knowledge without wisdom. I think it's Spurgeon that once said that there is no fool such as the fool that's the knowing fool. He knows an awful lot, but he's still a fool. Because he doesn't have wisdom. So the Job here is saying that they need to, that no amount of digging, and even, you think of the Bible, what a great minefield we have here, don't we? A mine, like the Word of God. To go and to dig in the Word of God and to find nuggets of gold in the Word of God, to start digging into the Word, to prayerfully read the Word, to study the Word, and to go into the Word and mine in there and seek the nuggets of gold. But even that labour in and of itself will not give you wisdom. Oh, that the day would come when there would be many in our nation that would once again turn to the Bible and start to mine in God's Word. To seek the nuggets of gold that are in there. But a person may have much knowledge of this mine and still not have wisdom. still not have meant have wisdom. So the first thing that Job tells us is that wisdom, true understanding, cannot be laboured for. You won't get it just by labouring. The second thing that Job... So he's still left with a question. But where shall wisdom be found, he says in verse 12. And where is the place of understanding? If he can't get it by labour and by the sweat of his brow, where's he going to get it? And the next thing he tells you is you can't buy it for money. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be worn for the price thereof. And think of all the different precious stones, the onyx, gold, silver, crystal. How many coral, how many different stones does Job recount here? Precious stones. And what he's saying is, not one of them will give you the price of wisdom. And not all of them added together will give you the price of wisdom. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold to have wisdom. Oh, if we could have money. That's what the world says, isn't it? If only we could have money. We live in a day where everything, we are told, has its price. Everything has its price. You have a footballer, and the footballer's not for sale. He's not for transfer. And in comes the big club with the big money, and the next thing is he's transferred. Why? Because everything has its price. You get a great work of art. It's not for sale. But in comes someone with the big price, and it's sold. Because everything has its price. We get our, the government gets its money in, and then it distributes it to every department, and each department wants more money so that it can do more with it. If only we had more money, we could do all sorts of things. If only we had more money. But there is one thing that is truly without price. One thing that you cannot buy with money. And that is true wisdom. And true understanding. It cannot be bought. Does that not put into perspective the words of Solomon? Remember when Solomon asked the Lord in 1 Kings chapter 3? When in 1 Kings chapter 3, and when Solomon was given the opportunity to ask for something, he asked for wisdom. Now there was a man that could have asked for all the riches in the world. A man that could have asked for all his enemies to be laid into his hands. A man that could have asked for health and wealth and all these things. But Solomon asks for wisdom. So the king of Israel went, and in 1 Kings chapter 3, 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon asks that the Lord would give him discernment, that he would give him wisdom. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked for riches for thyself, nor asked for the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern. Behold, I have done according to thy words. You see, Solomon had the opportunity there to ask for a long life, to ask for health, to ask for all the money that he needed. But Solomon asked for the most important, the most... That he asked for the one thing that was priceless, that was beyond value, that was beyond putting an estimate of cost on. He asked for wisdom. And Job here says, wisdom and understanding cannot be purchased. Can't be purchased. So you can't labour for it. And you can't buy it. So Job is left with the same question again in verse 20. Whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Now we come to find out where wisdom truly comes from. And where wisdom is truly to be found. Job has discovered that true wisdom comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from his own labours. Doesn't come from money. True wisdom comes from the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? What a wonderful understanding Job comes to. Because Job has what I think is, what I call, I don't think anybody else calls it that way, so it's informed ignorance. Informed ignorance. Now, I'm sure there's probably some theological, better theological way of putting it. But I'm putting it to you is that Job has informed ignorance. What do I mean by that? Well, wisdom is not, for Job, understanding everything in providence. Job has come to understand that he will be ignorant of many things. Why did the Lord allow these things to come his way? Why did the Lord allow the death of his children? Why did the Lord allow all his livestock to be taken and his wealth to go? Why did the Lord leave him with all these boils and sores upon his body? Why does the Lord allow that? Well, for Job, wisdom is not knowing the answer to these things. Do you notice that? But what Job has come to recognize is, I think, three things. Three things. First of all, that while he doesn't know the reason why things take place in this world, the Lord does know. Look at verse 23. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof, for he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven. It's God's omniscience. He might be ignorant of why his family were taken from him. He might be ignorant as to why the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans took away his livestock. He might be ignorant as to why the Lord is leaving him with sores on his body and in ill health. He doesn't know it, but he says the Lord does. He sees everything. God sees everything. My friend, why do the godless today prosper in Scotland? Why is it that the church in Scotland today is trodden underfoot? Why is the Bible cast out by those in authority? Why is the Lord allowing these things to take place? Why is it that the godless seem to perhaps have everything going for them and God's people have very difficult times? Why is it? I don't know. But God knows. The Lord is omniscient. And that's a great comfort to Job. When his friends come and speak platitudes to him and all these words that they're doing, they're expressing knowledge, but they're not expressing wisdom. But the Lord knows, but Job knows that the Lord sees the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. For he looketh to the ends of the earth, and he seeth under the whole heaven. So that's the first thing. Job may not see nor understand, but God does. The second thing is, not just God's omniscience, that's his knowing all things, but God's omnipotence. His omnipotence. See what he says in verse 25, to make the weight of the for the winds, and he weighed the waters by measure. How can you weigh the wind? The wind doesn't weigh anything, and yet God weighs the wind. He weighs the very sea, the sea that laps upon the shore. He weighs it all. He knows what it weighs. Could you even imagine what it would be to weigh a loch, one of the lochs in Scotland? Do you know what it would like, the water, the weight of the water in Loch Ness or in any? He weighs the very waters in the sea. What power? Now Job is there and he has no power. He has no power to stop the Sabaeans or the Chaldeans taking his stuff. He had no power to stop the wind that came and blew down the house that destroyed his sons and his seven sons and his three daughters. Job had no power to stop that. And he has no power to heal his own body. He can't do it. What power does the church have today? What power do you have? What power do we have to stop the flood of evil that's coming into our land today? What power have we got to stop that? We're powerless. And when illness comes your way, old age comes your way, and you're struck down, well, a doctor can do so far, but can he stop it? Ultimately, you're powerless. As Job was powerless. You see, Job says, I'm powerless. But God is not. God is not. He weighs the winds. He weighs the waters by measure. He is omnipotent. He's omniscient. Both these things. Job is informed ignorance. That's why I say it's informed ignorance, because he's ignorant of why it all comes about. But he's informed that behind it, God sees all things and God is able to do all things. And there's a third thing that Job sees, and that is that God has decreed all these things. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, he says in verse 26, He decrees the rain and the lightning that goes along with it. He's decreed all things. In other words, Job sees that there is a purpose. He might not know what that purpose is. He might not fully understand. He might be ignorant of what God's purposes are. But he is fully informed of the fact that God has a purpose in it all. And that true wisdom doesn't mean to say that you know everything in providence. True wisdom doesn't mean to say you know that everything that's going to take place in the future. True wisdom is not being able to read the history of the next 10 years, 20 years, or however long this world is. The history, that's not what Job... Job has been discussing with these three men, and what he's really saying is, we're discussing things that you cannot understand. But I do understand, I know, that God is omnipotent, God is omniscient, and God has a purpose in it all. So he says, what then is real understanding? What then is it to have true understanding and to true wisdom? It's not to fathom the depths of God's unrevealed will. There are many things that God has not revealed. And the providence he has for you, and the providence he has, what's going to happen tomorrow, the next day or the following day, the next year that we may be spared, Job doesn't pretend that he knows all of that or anything that has happened to him. That's the unrevealed will of God. He doesn't comprehend that. God has a purpose in it all. He's decreed it all. And there is that unrevealed will. But Job knows his revealed will. What's his revealed will? "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." The fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom. And to depart from evil. We might not comprehend all the secret will of God. We might not understand all the providence of God. Why he permits this to happen. Why he permits one of God's people. Why does God permit, for example, a man like McShane, who was so very well thought of as a minister, and he dies at the age of 29. That's all he lived to. Why? No one can answer these questions. But then we know that God has a purpose in it all. And what God has revealed is this. And God has said to man, "Behold, the fear of the Lord." That is wisdom. Do you know what we've got here? We have in these words a description of Job. But right back to the beginning of Job, and what do you find? There was a man in the land of Uz, his name was Job, and the man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Again in chapter 2, we find the same thing being said of Job. "Here is the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." You see, here is one who's a righteous. He's been righteous all along. They've been saying to him, "You must have something in your life that's caused this to come upon you. You must be a very bad man for God to allow these things to come on you." And Job has been a righteous man all along, because God has revealed this is wisdom. He's been given wisdom, which is to fear God and to turn from evil. So Job was a good man all along. He was just a good man who couldn't understand why God was doing this to him. And he's now saying, this is wisdom. This is true wisdom. The fear of the Lord. When Adam fell, and he partook of the tree of the knowledge, the tree that he shouldn't have taken from, he ate of that tree. Why did he eat of that tree? Because he didn't fear the Lord the way he ought to have done. He did not fear God. He did not fear the Lord when the Lord gave him a commandment. Of this tree thou shalt not eat. Of all the trees in the garden thou mayest eat, but of this one tree thou shalt not eat. And Adam partook of it. He did not fear the Lord the way he ought to have done. And when the Lord reverses that, when the Lord brings his people to himself, it's the first thing he does. He gives them the fear of the Lord. And that's not a carnal fear. There is a carnal fear of God that would make a person back away from God. Oh, I want to run away from God. Even Adam himself tried to hide from the Lord. But this is not a carnal fear of God. This is a godly, this is a reverence for God. This is true wisdom, to have reverence for Almighty God. To to have reverence and to have, and for us to have reverence before God, to us to have the fear of God, there must be that humility that we spoke of this morning. We spoke this morning, and the title was to be humbled as a child. This evening is to be as understanding as an adult. Unto the man, unto man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And all other wisdom, without that first wisdom, is but ignorance and folly. What are we told when you come to the New Testament? We're told two things. James tells us to ask for wisdom. We're to pray for this wisdom. But we're told something else by the Apostle Paul. And it's this. That wisdom is to be found in Jesus Christ, who is made of God unto us wisdom. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Job has already spoken about the Saviour, hasn't he? Remember last week we saw how he was so down, he was so cast down, but then all of a sudden he sees a vision of at the latter day, and it brings him right out of it. What does he see and who does he see? He sees the Lord Jesus Christ. And Job now sees that wisdom is to be found with God alone, revealed by God alone. And that wisdom is to be found in the Saviour. So that while wisdom can't be laboured for, you can put all the labour you like in and you'll never find wisdom. You can bring all the worldly goods that you have, you can bring all the precious stones in the world, and it'll never buy you wisdom. But you come to Jesus Christ by faith, and you find there is wisdom, the wisdom of God. And it's the wisdom of God unto salvation, and the power of God, because Jesus Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He is all things to his people. So, whether we are young or old, you know, in this world we're always learning. And you're always learning till the end of your day. You'll always be learning something. Young people will go to university, young people will go to colleges, young people will go to work. And as they go to these different places, they learn. And as we grow up into latter years, we learn. We learn what it's like to be older, as opposed to being young. We learn what it's like to have families. We're learning all the time, every day, every week in life. We learn something new. But if you want to know true wisdom, if you want to know understanding, then there are two things that constitute wisdom. The fear of the Lord and to depart from evil. And the two go hand in hand. Job was one who all along was a righteous man. He just couldn't figure out why God was dealing with him the way he was. But now he has wisdom. Now he sees that whatever God has done for him, he has opened to him the glories of a Saviour, in whom there is all the wisdom of God. And no matter what he would go through in this world, it would not compare to the glory that was laid up for him in the wisdom of the Lord. So that if you are today a stranger to God's grace, you're still in ignorance. If you are a seeker after the Lord, then you won't find it by digging or anything else. You will only find that wisdom with God himself. And if you're one of the Lord's people and you go through difficult times, my friend, remember, the Lord sees it all. The Lord is powerful in it all. And the Lord has decreed it all. Remember the wisdom that is to be found in Jesus Christ. And that's wisdom and understanding indeed. Let us pray. Gracious and ever blessed Lord, we thank Thee for the goodness of Thy grace. We thank Thee that Thou art the God that overrules the affairs of men. Thou art the God that is omniscient and omnipotent. Thou art the God who has a purpose in all things for this world and for Thy people. And we bless Thee that the fear of the Lord, that fear that draws Thy people to Thee, and that wisdom which is to be found in Jesus Christ, by whom we are able to come into Thy presence. The one by whom we are able to come to Thee, we bless Thee that even Job himself found comfort in the knowledge of such a Saviour. Bless us now, part us in Thy fear and with Thy blessing, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll continue to sing in Psalm 111 from verse 6. Psalm 111 from verse 6, the tune is St. Leonard. Psalm 111 and verse 6. To the end of the psalm, He did the power of His works unto His people show, when He the heathen's heritage upon them did bestow. His handiworks of truth and right, all His commands are sure, and done in truth and uprightness, they evermore endure. He sent redemption to His folk, His covenant for aye. He did command, holy His name, and reverend is alway. Wisdom's beginning is God's fear, good understanding may have all that His commands fulfil, His praise endures for aye. Psalm 111, verses 6 to the end, He did the power of His works unto His people show.
In the power of His word unto His people show, when He the heathen heritage upon them did bestow. His handiwork of truth and right, all His commands are sure, and done in truth and uprightness, they evermore endure. He sent redemption to His folk,
further intimation, and that is that those interested in the outreach that is going leafleting the doors and onto the streets, and those who are interested in assisting in that are asked to meet next Saturday at 11 a.m. in the vestry or in one of the rooms upstairs. It'll be here somewhere. That's next Saturday at 11 a.m. those interested in a way forward with the outreach. These are all the intimations. The rest of the intimations are on the news sheet. We'll conclude with the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God, rest on and abide with you, now and forevermore. Amen.